you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you, and I will never, never desert you. For lo, I am with you forever and ever. And if you say,
God, this is the Word of Faith Netcast, and this is Dr. Bill Bailey. Glad you could join us again, as this week we continue with our message that it's basically the third in the series of messages that were recorded at the Message of Victory Studios in Concord, North Carolina, at Word of Faith Worship Center, where Dr. Gary Price is pastor. And we'll go right into that message and pick up in the studio as it was recorded.
Price, welcome to the Message of Victory, and I truly am serious about this. This is the message, the Word of God, is a message of victory. And I have in the studio with me again is my guest, Pastor or Dr. Bill Bailey. And Dr. Bill has been a friend of mine for a long time. We've worked together in ministry, and here we are working together again right this day.
That's right.
And Brother Bill, we had been talking about in the last couple of weeks, we'd been talking about being a new person, new creature in Christ Jesus, being in Him, and our ministry being a ministry of reconciliation, why God sent Jesus is the same purpose that we have to minister the ministry of reconciliation. Well, there's a lot of people out there that have been confused. They really have not. In fact, whenever I was growing up, on my grandma's coffee table was a Bible. Mm-hmm. And I go to my other grandma's house, and on the coffee table was a Bible. And in those Bibles were listed, you know, that's where they kept their most important records.
Right.
And
who was born
to
who?
It's not that way anymore. We've turned it all over to the state. You know, you go down to the city and register in the, you know, the courthouses and everything. So, but the Bibles were laying out there, and if we went to Sunday school, came home from church, there was the Bible on the table. And our grandparents prayed for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a different world today. We have people out there that do not even know anything. I mean, the terminology we've been talking about, they have no idea. We start talking this terminology that we use every day, they don't understand a thing we're saying.
That's right. It's language that makes no sense to them.
Yeah. And so what do we do basically to get the Bible back in front of them on some coffee table somewhere, so that they can know that this is the standard by which we can live and enjoy life?
Yeah, and the thing is, that Bible on the coffee table, if it just sat there and gathered dust, it wasn't going to be worth a whole lot of good. But the principle of that Bible being the foundation of the home, mm-hmm. the centerpiece that the home was built on, that's what we've lost, unfortunately, from the time when you and I grew up. A lot of people today are led and directed by natural things. They're more drawn to science and to what is provable. Matter of fact, there's been a lot of talk about the scientific method and proof of the scientific method, things along that line. And people discount the Bible and things of faith because it's not provable in the scientific sense. You can't bring God into a test tube and then pour some chemicals and test mm-hmm. for God. And so because of that, science has kind of relegated God to the past, to not being important. From most scientists' perspective, not even existing. Mm-hmm. They say there is no God. And so the world has taken on that attitude. Science has kind of come to the forefront, and faith has gone down in terms of acceptance. as I say, back in our day, so to speak, way back, not to say that I'm all that old, but at any rate...
You're almost all that old.
I'm almost, but I'm not quite there yet. Now, this is all wisdom, you see.
Okay.
That's what gray hair is. But at any rate, the thing about it is, we remember a day when faith was cherished and important. Science had its place. There's nothing wrong with science. Matter of fact, science is a very beneficial thing. I work with computers day in and day out. I enjoy science in its place. But I know that everything we see in the natural was created by God supernaturally. Mm-hmm. The supernatural is above, that's part of what the meaning of the word is, above the natural. So that's its rightful position. But unfortunately, mankind has switched it and has made science more important than faith. And one of the topics that I just wanted to talk a little bit about this week goes all the way back to Genesis 1:1. And we talked about over the last couple of weeks that we are new creations. We need to go back and look at creation and talk about the fact that God created the heavens and the earth. Notice Genesis 1:1. It's 10 words, 10 simple little words. The very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God... We could stop right there and talk about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, if we just stop right there and think about that, God was preexistent before anything we see here on earth was. There was no matter. There was nothing. Total nothingness. We can't even imagine that.
Yeah.
The deepest, darkest points of space still has dust and debris and molecules of things. We can't imagine absolute nothingness. And yet that's what was there, and yet God was in the beginning. He then created the heaven and the earth. Now that's what the Bible says. It's the very first verse. If you're going to discount the Bible from the very first verse, what are you going to do with the rest of it? You're going to reject it.
Yeah.
So if you don't believe that very first part, then what are you going to do with the rest of the Bible? It discounts the Bible if you don't believe 1:1,
yeah.
Genesis 1:1. But we obviously believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," or literally in the Hebrew, "light be," and there was light, or literally in the Hebrew, "light was." Now, we can think of it this way. If I look out into the darkness and there's no light, it's totally dark. What God said was light in the present sense. That's what this means in the Hebrew, if you were to take it apart and look at the grammar of it. He just said light. And when he said light in the present tense, light came in the present tense. It was there. It wasn't there. He said it. It was there. And then he proceeds through the rest of this chapter to talk about using words to create everything that was. Mm-hmm. That is the creation. Now, there are several principles there. God was there first. Matter was not in existence. God created, and he designed of himself how all this would come together. Now, over the last month or so, there's been a lot of talk about this new movie that has come out, Ben Stein's movie called, I think it's Expelled. And the movie is about his simply, that's all he's doing, is simply putting forth the truth that there is an intelligent mind behind what we see here. He's not making a lot of religious claims. He's not preaching anything in particular. He's simply making one simple little point that what we see around us in the natural was designed. That's all. And yet that simple, simple little truth is absolutely rejected by the scientific community. Now, a community of people that is based on the principle that if you can observe something and prove it and test it, in other words, the scientific method, is the key and most important thing. The very principle of testing a theory is to state, this is what I believe we will find, and then test it and see if that is the end result. If it's not, you've discovered something worthwhile. If I theorize something and it is proved completely wrong, I know that's one thing that doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I put that in my little body of knowledge over here. Well, there's one thing that doesn't work. So I'll try another thing. I'll test it. And maybe it does work. So now I put this over here. Now I've got a little bit of information. Now that may seem like a tedious, time-consuming way to approach things. But that's the scientific method. And basically, the idea of that method is that we have to be open. You may have a theory that I think is knuckleheaded to the extreme. But if you present me with that theory, I should say, okay, fine. Let's take that idea. Let's test it for validity. And let's see if it is a rational, reasonable way to go. And I may test something that seems totally crazy to me, but I'm open to testing it because that's a theory that has been put forward. Let's test it. Science has said intelligent design we're not going to consider. We put that aside because that's faith. It's not science. No, it's not. It has nothing to do with faith or science or anything. It's just a theory. Mm-hmm. The theory of evolution is just a theory. It's an idea. It's something that you can put forward and test, is it true or not? Now, the interesting thing about the theory of evolution is there's no proof. They've gone and they've looked at a lot of things. They always talk about the missing link. You know what the missing link is? You have an animal that looks like it's kind of sort of getting to be toward a man. And then you have a man that looks like he's kind of sort of like an animal. You know, talking about like Neanderthal man, those kinds of things. But there's no intermediate point. That's what the missing link is. You got animal, you got man, and then you got this missing part. Well, the reason it's missing is it never existed.
That's right.
You know, so the theory in and of itself can't be proven. Mm-hmm. Yet, it's no longer, even though it's called the theory of evolution, it's accepted as dogma by the scientific community. If you listen to programs on Discovery Channel or some of these things, they don't talk about the theory of evolution anymore. They simply say, this bird is using this tool and has conformed to this, that, and this is how evolution has changed it. They're no longer talking theory. They're talking fact.
Yeah.
It has become a doctrine. It's become literally a religion in and of itself. And religion tends to discount things that are contrary to its dogma. Now, I can say that because I'm not religious.
Yep.
People say, but you have a doctorate in theology. What do you mean you're not religious? I am not religious because religion is man's attempt to reach God. That's fruitless and it's a waste of time. God reached out to man through Jesus Christ. That's Christianity. Yeah. It has nothing to do with religion.
That's right.
So, I can say very openly, religion, you know the old saying, religion's the opiate of the masses? Well, religion is dulling like a drug. It is oppressive like a drug. But religion isn't just in the framework of the high church. Religion is also in the framework of science. Because if science is going to have a dogma and a doctrine that they're going to adhere to despite what the world's evidence is, then it goes further than a scientific method and becomes a dogma that they're not willing to let go of. And what Ben Stein's movie shows us is that they're holding to that to the point that they're actually firing scientists, dismissing scientists, expelling scientists who dared to just consider that there might be a designer, that there might be an order in the universe. Now, you and I both know that if I look at a snowflake, you wonder, you see it under a microscope, you wonder, how could it be so flawless? How could it be so perfect? It's a little crystal of water, of snow. How can that be so beautiful? And it's the as beautiful a design as any artist could ever create. And you're telling me that that just randomly occurred. I don't understand that. You know, it seems like I could think about that a minute and think, there has to be some design to that. But then beyond that, you're talking about these people out there. How do we reach them when they're not even thinking along the lines of the word? They can think along the lines of what they know from science. And science has told them that there is this force in the universe called entropy. And basically what it means is everything is spiraling down and becoming worse and worse. Basically, things that are ordered return to chaos.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea of this entropy. And we can see that observably. That is a scientific point of fact, because we can take, for instance, an apple and set it on a table, and it will begin to rot. It decomposes from an ordered state to an unordered state. We look at something orbiting a star, orbiting the sun. We see that orbit decay. That's what they talk about, a decaying orbit. It becomes erratic and it eventually falls into the sun. So things are constantly going toward entropy. It's constantly becoming less ordered. Well, you know, it's funny. If you think about it, if the whole universe has existed as long as people say it has, the scientists say it has, it's obviously been going from a state of order to chaos, and yet we're still here.
Yeah.
Yet the universe still exists. And the thing about it is, from a Christian point of view, the only way that the universe could exist is because in God we live and move and have our being. In Him we have all these things. Just like we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, everything that is worthwhile in our lives comes from the fact that we're in Him.
Yeah.
God's holding the universe together, even from the natural. Mm-hmm. He's holding. If He wasn't holding together, it would all spiral out of control and return to chaos.
Yeah.
And you notice here it says the earth was without form and void. The Hebrew here says was chaotic.
Yeah.
There was no order. He brought order. He, as the master designer, brought order. And that's exactly what, as the creator, He did. And He placed this universe here for us. He didn't need it. He's God. But He placed it here for us to live in and to operate in. Not just this one little planet, but the whole universe was put here for us.
Yeah.
That's amazing to think about.
It is.
And this whole thing about this movie is an opportunity for us as believers to reach people who have only seen the scientific method and get them thinking, you know, there's some things in that movie that get you to thinking. What do you think about the Bible when it says God created the heavens and the earth? And bring them back to God through this information that's been presented.
And you know, I think that there is a possibility that more and more people, as we see, it's like trying to say two things at one time. But as we see that Christians really have to make a choice, are they going to go God's way? Are they going to? Because Jerry Savelle said this years ago, back in the 80s, when mm-hmm. you and I were ministering together. He said, "There's going to come a time when you're going to be you straddle the ditch,"
mm-hmm.
and he says, "But that ditch is going to get wider and wider and wider, and you're going to have to choose which side you're going to walk on."
That's right. That's right.
And I believe that we have come to that day, and this is in those days. So standing around the water cooler, I believe that we're just bold enough and have enough in us just to challenge some of these things that people are saying.
The scripture says, be ready to give an answer. And when you hear them talking around the water cooler, so to speak, about this movie that's been out for a few weeks now, and people are talking about, be ready to give an answer. Be ready to say, you know, I believe God really did design this
whole
universe.
What's wrong with standing up for God? Why is everybody seemingly ashamed?
Yeah, they're afraid they're going to get bowled over
somehow.
And
again, that afraid comes back in there.
Yeah, fear.
Fear comes back in there because they have fear that they're going to be out-challenged or out-talked or whatever it is. And so they back off. But I believe that we're living in a day right now that things about this movie, mm-hmm. people are talking about it. And so therefore, I believe that the Christians, it's just enough. I was talking about secular things, so you can get involved in the mm-hmm. conversation.
It's a conversation opener. That's a good way of looking at it. It's a conversation opener, and we should be looking for those opportunities. When I first heard about this movie, I saw it as an opportunity because I saw here is a door that's going to open a crack mm-hmm. for people's lives, and then we speak into that. And I had a dear friend in high school who was a champion debater, absolutely brilliant person, and he didn't believe in God. And I knew he could run rings around me in arguing. Mm-hmm. He could argue me into the ground. So I didn't try to approach it from an argument point of view. I just told him, I love you, and I don't want to see you go to hell. Well, he couldn't do anything with that. He couldn't argue with that.
Yeah.
There wasn't any intellectual argument around that. He might say, get out of here, you know. But over time, just loving on him, he finally came to say, and I asked him later when he got born again, I said, what was it that finally won you to the Lord? He said, you just wouldn't let go. You wouldn't let go of loving me into the kingdom. And he said, I could out-argue all day long, but it wasn't the arguments that won me. It was the love you demonstrated. And to this day, he's a believer, spirit-filled, you know, operating in the Word of God, and his whole family is. And all of that came from me just saying, I'm just going to love him. I'm just going to hang in there and be tenacious. And that's what we got to do. We don't have to be eloquent. We don't have to be a tremendous speaker and have every answer. What we have to do is be ready, willing to give an answer. Mm-hmm. And then the Holy Spirit will give us words to speak.
Yeah.
And then we'll have it. That's what we need. And it may be simple. It may not be a great intellectual argument, but it may be something that's just, you know, I heard a guy last week talking about this order and chaos thing that you just heard a few minutes ago. And it's interesting to me that if the universe really is devolving, then why are we still here?
Yeah.
Must be that God's holding it all together. And that one little thing will stick in people's mind. They'll, you know, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Well, why are we still here?
Mm-hmm.
And that opens doors. That will. And the other part of that is pray for them.
Yeah.
See, we discount that sometimes.
Right.
Oh, I'll pray for you. But then we don't actually do it. Go ahead and pray that one little word they heard is just going to be before them all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
And they'll come around. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, it's good to have people praying for us, I can tell you that.
Oh, where would we be if people weren't praying for us?
Wouldn't have been here, I can tell you.
That's for sure.
But God is so good, and the things that we're talking about here, God did create this heaven and the earth.
Absolutely.
And the Bible says that, and you've got to decide at some point what it is that you're going to believe.
Yeah, I like what you were saying there about, you know, at some point you've got to make a decision which side of the fence you're going to be on.
Right.
I'm on God's side. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly the choice that I have made, and I've been walking in this for a number of years. That doesn't mean that I've been perfect. It doesn't mean that I've made all the right decisions, but I have done what I knew to do, and sometimes, I have just been slack. But God has loved me anyway, and He has given me miracle after miracle. He's always for us. You've got miracles in your life, and I've got miracles in mine, and we talked about that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And just that, just the fact, and the most recent for me is a brain tumor that was malignant.
Totally healed.
And totally healed. How do you explain that?
That's right. I mean, what are you going to do with that, scientist?
Yeah.
There's some observable phenomenon that can be measured.
And people have a tendency just to cast that to the side. Well, that's
yeah, well,
them,
you know it's a...
And the thing that happened
that
with
go.
You and Belinda and Ben.
That's right.
That
she had cardiomyopathy. Her heart had just given up. And they said she will not survive without a heart transplant. It wasn't a matter of, well, we'll wait and she'll get better. No. She was going to die within a week or two without a heart transplant. And yet there was no heart to be had for transplant. And she just said, no, I'm not going to die. I'm going to live and not die.
Mm-hmm.
And she began to quote the scripture, and her heart continually got better and better to the point that now, years later, Ben's now 15, he'll be 16 in August, and now all these years later, she's totally healed. All the tests show that she's never had any problem with her heart, no scarring, no nothing, totally whole. And yet there's no cure for that. Doctors will tell you, there's no cure for postpartum cardiomyopathy, and yet there she is. What are you going to do with that?
That's
evidence that demands a verdict.
That's right.
So it does demand
a verdict, and it demands us to, again, choose. Because with the right knowledge, people can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and enter into a realm of life that they have never, ever experienced before, and it is a better place to be.
Absolutely.
And for one reason or another, let me ask you this. Would you rather think that you're right and go to hell, or would you rather just believe God, hoping that you go to heaven, you know, at some point or another, that you're going to gain the understanding?
I had a guy ask me that in a different way. He said, well, you just believe what you believe, I believe what I believe. I don't believe there is a God. I said, well, I look at it this way. If I'm right, I'm going to heaven.
Yeah.
If you're right, we're just going to cease to exist, and it's not going to matter. I'd rather err on the side of being right and going to heaven. Because if you're right and we're just going to die, we're going to die anyway.
Yeah.
If I'm right, you're going to hell, I'm going to heaven.
But if he's wrong, he's in trouble.
He's in trouble. That's right. So, but you know, I mean, that's really kind of simple and almost facetious. But at the same time, it gets you thinking.
It does.
It gets you thinking. Well, you know, you're right. I mean, it'd be better off to believe.
Yeah, that's right.
And the thing about it is, once you do believe, once you stand in the things of God, once you see what we've seen, oh my goodness, you can't not believe.
My path was running so far left. That's left.
Yeah.
The other
right.
The other left.
Inside joke there.
But I was going so far left, man, that I didn't even know what was right.
Really?
But I came to know Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want everybody to have the opportunity before we go off this air today to accept Jesus as Lord of your life. And it's not a thing of just getting saved and making the confession and keep on doing what you're doing and living like you're living. The Bible says that you become a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Those
totally
old things are passed away. All things have become new. And so find your new life and begin to walk in that, because you wasn't getting anywhere in the old one. Let's get somewhere in the new one.
Amen.
And it's in life in Christ. It's a life of, yes, there's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulation. There are going to be problems, but God has given you the victory over the problems. And so I want you to bow your head and pray this prayer after me. Say, Father God.
Father God.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Forgive me of my sins.
Forgive me of my sins.
I accept you.
I accept you.
As Lord of my life.
As Lord of my life.
I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
That Jesus is the Son of God.
That Jesus is the Son of God.
That He died for me.
That He died for me.
And He raised from the dead.
And was raised from the dead.
And now, I confess Jesus.
I confess Jesus.
As my Savior.
As my Savior.
And my Lord.
And my Lord.
And my King.
And my King.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For baptizing me into the Holy Spirit.
Into the Holy Spirit.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, if you prayed that prayer, you need to get into a church that believes the Word of God, that teaches the Word of faith. And I'm talking about any church that preaches faith. And the word of faith, they're telling you something that's going to help you. Because one day you may be in the same place Bill and I have been, and you need God and you need to understand some things. And it'd be good to be equipped with that. It's like going to school and then needing whatever you went to school and learned. And years later, you find out it's good that I learned that.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. And as I said at the beginning of this netcast, this is the conclusion of this set of three broadcasts that were recorded at the Message Victory Studios in Concord, North Carolina, Word of Faith Worship Center. Trust you enjoyed these netcasts. We'll get back to our regularly scheduled, so to speak, netcast next week as we get into some more good things from the Word of God. Amen. Now, of course, you can write me here at Word of Faith Ministries. Our address is Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213, 5213, High Point, North Carolina, 27262. And, of course, you can always write me at my email address. I'd really encourage you to do that because it's quicker than old snail mail, as we call it, talking about the regular printed mail. The email is so much faster, and actually I can get back to you much quicker if you'll do that. So you can write me at Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WFM.org. And as I've mentioned before, I'd encourage you to go to WFM.org and take advantage of all the great resources at our website. Praise the Lord. So, until next week, remember to fulfill the Word of God.